ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.
We're going to start today's program with some big water news. Consolidated Pastoral Company, CPC, has been granted 4 water extraction licences in the Northern Territory, which, when you add them all up, total more than 15,500 megalitres per year. So the water licences are for CPC's cropping plans on Newcastle Waters and the neighbouring Tenandidgee and Powell Creek stations in the Barkly, and also further north at Dungowan Station on the Buchanan Highway in the Victoria River District. I spoke to CPC's Chief Executive Troy Setter earlier on and started by asking him about the stations in the Barkly and what the plan is for all of this water.
The plan is to use that water where we've already developed land for cropping. So we've been cropping on those stations for a couple of years now, mainly sorghum for cattle feed and some legumes, hay, and then also we've done a little bit of cotton when the market was right. So that's the plan is to develop some of that farming land for irrigation, because at the moment it's all been dry land.
Right, so you're being sort of growing crops during the wet season. This gives you a chance to top them up at the back end of the wet and grow stuff during the dry season as well.
Yeah, absolutely, and gives us the opportunity to have more consistent cropping and more consistent production, which will flow to to higher productivity and ultimately more consistency for employment of employees, but also for contractors.
What crops are working best in the Barkly at the moment?
Forage sorghum and sorghum for silage is working the best. Grain is okay. We've had 2 record years of flooding the last 2 years, and that's made some challenges with waterlogging. And then, prior to that, we had some pretty dry years as well. I think it'll also allow us to look at things that can be grown during the dry season that are better suited to the cooler soil temperatures. We've certainly had trouble with things like soybeans with hot soil temperatures. If we could grow them when it's a bit cooler, I think that would be beneficial.
I see in the applications it talks about using this water to grow, sorghum, Rhodes grass, cavalcade, cotton, oats. If another crop pops up as being a real winner commercially, do you have to go back to the government, back to the department and reapply, or if all of a sudden there's big money in rock melons, you can go for it?
I think it depends on the crop. If it's a crop that fits into the traditional pastoral use and aligns with our application, no, we don't. But if it's something that's outside of that, we would need to.
Right. So if it was rock melons, horticulture, you would need to.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
If it's a non-pastoral crop, we would need to. Yep. Is my understanding, but we'd absolutely, other people looking to do these sorts of things should get their own advice, just to be clear.
Understood. And Dungowan, is it very, like, there's 4,738 megalitres a year for Dungowan now. So, that's irrigation coming into the VRD. Are you sort of doing similar things up there?
Yeah, we plan to. I think VRD will be more livestock grazing. We started working with the NT government several years ago with thinking that it would be a combination of potentially leucina with grass. At the moment, that site's got a pasture mix in it, just as we settle the soils down.
And my understanding is a lot of these licences are staged, as in you can't go and put 7,000 megs a year on Tenandidgee Station from day one. Can you explain that to us?
Yeah, the process is a staged development for sustainable development, but also I think we're realists that There's not the infrastructure in the Northern Territory for developing irrigation systems en masse, so it'll take us time. So we've agreed and we proposed and agreed with the NT government to stagger those developments as we think they'll practically occur. Also, development of irrigation or anything in the Northern Territory is very expensive, and we want to do it carefully and make sure that we've do it in a sustainable way.
Will CPC have to prove certain, I guess, environmental milestones along the way to get to the next stage?
There is environmental compliance that we need to meet for anything we do on the stations, and it falls part of that process. We will be monitoring water levels and pumping levels as we develop, as others have been doing that have been developing in this region, in the NT.
How far down do you need to drill to get water, say in the Barkly?
Good question. We've done plenty of test drilling, and so 100 to 200 metres at this stage. Okay. But we'll need to do more on that.
So, if all goes to plan for CPC, when would you love to have some pivots up and running and growing crops for you?
Look, ideally, next year or the year after would be great to see it happening.
And a lot of the water allocation plans that this all relies on, a lot of them are ending up in the courtrooms. Are you expecting delays?
We hope not. We've gone through quite a rigorous community consultation process and engagement with neighbours and other stakeholders. There was a public process available for people to contribute and comment. We've responded to those. We then worked through quite a long technical process with the Northern Territory government and their experts, and we used a variety of specialty consultants to ensure that what we were proposing was sustainable and met the license requirements. So we hope that there isn't a legal challenge to this development, because one, we believe it's sustainable, but two, there's material positive impacts for the Northern Territory for jobs and income for the Territory.
All these crops to potentially be grown on these CPC properties, will it all be destined for the throats of CPC cattle, or will you have surplus for the industry?
We currently sell hay and some grain, and we've sold the cotton off our stations. So, as well as supplied our own livestock, so we would see that we will continue to do both.
On cotton, have you got a dollars per bale figure in your mind on when it would be worth doing cotton in the Barkly?
Look, it really needs a 7 in front of it.
Yep.
And at the moment we're in the sixes, but I think that's predominantly been driven by the rapid increase in input costs, as fertilizer, chemical, seed, and fuel. Labor costs have all gone up dramatically in the last 2 to 3 years. So to economically grow cotton, we would need a higher sale price. There's also some risk of flooding and waterlogging in the Barkly, and also the temperature and of the soil at establishment time can be pretty tricky. Yeah. But longer term, I think the Barkly will get there, and cotton will be part of a cropping rotation for Central Australia and Northern Australia.
Thanks so much for your time on the Country Hour today. Appreciate it.
Thanks very much, mate.
That's Troy Satter. He's the Chief Executive of the Consolidated Pastoral Company, which on Friday just gone was granted 4 water extraction licences in the Northern Territory. When you add them all up, they total more than 15,500 megalitres per year. So just to break that down for you, the 4 licences. There's one for Powell Creek Station. That's 480 megalitres a year. Dungowan Station in the VRD. That water licence is for 4,738 megalitres a year. Newcastle Waters, 3,060 megs a year. And Tenandidgee, that's a big water licence there. That's 7,290 megalitres per year. As mentioned there by Troy Setter, it will be a staged approach. Now, the Country Hour understands that this now makes CPC the second biggest groundwater licence holder in the Northern Territory behind Power and Water, noting that the big water licence for Singleton Station is currently invalid after that recent High Court ruling. So CPC, one of the Territory's biggest cattle companies, on track to potentially be the NT's biggest irrigator.